I'm just going to give you the topic of my sermon today. I'm going to teach you how to mind your own business. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, today we are going to learn how to mind our own business. Look at him again and say, I don't think you heard me right. Today we are going to learn how to mind our own business. And look at your neighbor and say, mind your business. Matter of fact, pass that down your road. Just say, mind your business. Mind your business. Martin, I think I'm, there you go. I actually got Bible for this. I didn't just make this up. You go to my next slide there. I want to read it to you from the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11 and verse 12. It's there on the screen. You can find it on your smartphone. I'm going to tell you how to mind your business today. When you understand, when I get finished, by the time you get through, it's not a derogatory term. I'm not telling you not, I don't think you should be nosy. But I want to show you that God birthed your life and put you in business and made you the CEO of your own life. And he wants you to sit in the driver's seat and make great decisions so you can be what he called you to be. Let's look at the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11. It says this. Thank you. And he said, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business. Say it again, mind your own business. And work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. One of the goals of this church, and I told God, I didn't want to be just known as a bunch of praisers and loud people that people just came to for prayer. I want people to come to us for prayer. I want us to be known as people who praise and worship God. But when we leave these four walls, I want us to have respect in the community. It's not enough for me to come in here and I be the best praiser, the best preacher, whatever in the house, and we good Christians in here. But when you walk in community, our names are bad in the bank. We have bad credit. We're jacked up on, you ask our job. And you know, how's that Christian doing? I didn't even know they were saved. I want your boss to know you're saved. Not because you speak in tongues and hand out blessed oil at work, but because you are high ranking, because you produce, and because you do great things. I want us to mind our own business so that we have respect in daily life. Here's where I got this from. A few years ago, I was at work. And anybody ever work in a setting where you sit in cubicles? What happens when you sit in cubicles when somebody else is on the phone? You can hear everything, right? So one day, Barbara's going to be working late at work. She called me, and she said, what are we going to eat tonight, Jason? I said, Barbara, spaghetti would sound real good. So I said, man, I want to do something special with the spaghetti. She said, get some Italian sausage, put it in it. Get some peppers, get some onions. You know, we use that ragu, like six cheese and all that stuff like that. And she said, get some ground turkey and put it in there as well. She had me eating turkey years before I knew I was eating it. She said, Jason, I'm going to put turkey in. I said, I don't like turkey. She said, you've been eating it for a long time. I just ain't told you. I like turkey. I didn't even know it. And I said, I need something to make it pop. And so I said, I'm going to go on the internet and look it up. And when Barbara got home, I said, oh, Barbara, I got something that's going to make it very robust. That's going to make our spaghetti pop. Here's how it happened. This lady who sat next to me when I got off the phone with Barbara walked around the aisle into my cube and said, I heard you making spaghetti tonight. Y'all probably never had that experience before, right? She said, hey, here's what you can do. You can get yourself vermouth. She said, I know you old Christian guy, whatever, but you got to go to the liquor store and get it. Vermouth. It's 2 hours over from where you normally go. You've seen it before. You just probably passed it and didn't know where it was. But she said it's sweet cooking wine. And man, that nosy lady paid off that day. It makes it pop, don't it, Barbara? Yeah. You can pour it in and drink some. Vermouth, V-E-R-M-O-U-T-H, I believe that's how it is. And it makes it pop. But that lady got into it with many people on the floor because she would finish people's conversation. She would go over and tell them how to correct their kids. She'd give them marriage advice because she was sitting there listening to their conversation. Y'all never met anybody like that, right? But in life, you got to learn how to mind your own business. One of the greatest lessons in life is when you find your business and mind it, you develop a respect and an interdependence in life. Here's what happens. You save your nerves and the people around you when you start to mature in life. Let's go to my first slide here. I'm going to tell you how to mind your business. The first thing is this. Find your lane. This week when y'all on social media and there's somebody doing something you don't like, just hashtag FYL. If you texting them and they sending you a message and you just want to just hashtag, what is FYL? I am glad you asked. Find your lane. One of the scariest nights that I had, y'all knew Krispy Kreme got this Eclipse donut? Where they pour this chocolate on top of this donut. I was going to go get some, but it wasn't the chocolate. It wasn't the ice donut. It was just a regular donut. So I said, I ain't wasting my time dropping up there for that. But one day I was coming off Samrilli, and I was getting ready to get off the interstate by Cracker Barrel. And this car was headed towards me. I was on the phone with Barbara, and I said, Barbara, I think this car is headed towards me. And I had to swerve over because they were driving in my lane. They were not drunk because they were straight down the lane. And they were blowing their horn and flashing their lights at me. And everybody behind me had to swerve and get over. Here's what happens in life. When you not in the right lane, you will be in the opposite direction of what life is going and will blame everybody else for what you're trying to do when the reality is you're going the wrong way. Look at your neighbor and say, find your lane. You could be ignorantly doing something and completely unaware of the potential danger in your life. Finding your lane is simply this, establishing boundaries in your life. Boundaries are this, what I'm responsible for and what you are responsible for. Boundaries is what I can do and what I cannot do. Boundaries are important because anybody here have family? Raise your hand if you have family in here. Anybody have friends in here? Anybody have a job in here? If you don't establish boundaries in your life, your family, your friends, and your job will create havoc in your life that has no business being havoc in your life. The book Boundaries, John Townsend and Henry Cloud, I gave it out last week. They gave the story of a man and a wife. He came in, and they were frustrated with their son. They were sitting in front of the counselor and said, our son acts like he doesn't have a care in the world. He flunks out of school. We pay for him to go another school. He messes up a car. We buy him another car. And now this frustration with him has crept into our marriage, and we are frustrated because our son acts like he doesn't have a care in the world. The counselor looked at them and said, you're right. Your son does not have a problem or a care in the world. They said, what do you mean? You are taking all of his problems and all of his cares, and he's around living life footloose and fancy free while you're frustrated. They said, put some of that responsibility back on him. Oh, no, we can't do that. How's the opposite working for you? Many of you in this room right now, you're carrying the weight of somebody's irresponsibility. Just keep looking straight ahead. You're carrying the burden of what somebody won't step up and do, and you're afraid that it won't get done. And I want to challenge you today to set boundaries in your life, and you will have peace beyond what you ever imagined. Somebody say, find your lane. The next thing is stay in your lane. All right. Y'all talking back to me today. Like a good old Kojic Baptist Church this morning. I flew right, have us running in here. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane is all about accountability. My parents had this Acura, and when you get out of your lane, it has this just irksome vibrating and beeping sound, and it doesn't stop until you get back in your lane. Accountability works the same way. Sometimes it gets on your nerves, sometimes it is irksome, but as long as you are in the wrong lane or out of your lane, there needs to be people in your life to say, that's not right, that's not all God has in you. Many times what we do is we push those people away and we pull in enablers and co-signers who co-sign for our mess. Instead of you being in your lane, they'll draw you a completely different lane and lead a march on Washington and say, you ought to be able to drive wherever you want to drive. The devil is a lie. You got to be responsible and take responsibility. Y'all right in here? For your actions. We all need real authentic relationships because they're like mirrors in our life. You don't know what you don't know, and you need people in your life to help hold you accountable, not just the hall monitor to say you're wrong today. No, they need to see the potential inside of you, and they can help develop it. Here's another thing. You got to qualify who can hold you accountable. You got to qualify who can validate and speak into your life. Because some of the people that we have speaking into our life have no business speaking into our life. And they are creating the mess that we live in. You got to have honest people, people of character and integrity, to speak into your life. I was talking to a police officer the other day. We were in Barbara's office, and she works there on campus. That's why she was in her office. The police officer was there, and we were talking. And she said, Jason, we were talking about boundaries. She said, do you know people can be lying and passing a polygraph test? And I said, tell me about it. She said, yeah, a person can believe a lie so long that it becomes a part of who they are, that they can live it like it's true. And if you don't have the right people in your life, you will be living a lie. And everybody around you can be telling you this is wrong. Don't go that direction. And God's trying to save you a lot of heartache. But because you have believed a lie, you will live a lie. Accountability is this. It doesn't feel good all the time. Rookie Buchanan in the back there, he and I played basketball all growing up from the time we were elementary. And we had a coach by the name of Coach Terry Looper. He was one of the toughest coaches you could ever imagine. But do you know one of the main people I have respect for in life is that guy? He didn't let us. He said, Scales, you're going in your shell. You're acting timid. What's wrong with you today? He wouldn't let me be timid. He wouldn't let me be soft. Can I challenge you in here? Find some people who will push you to your limits. Some people who will not let you cry and complain every day of your life. Some people that will say, hey, listen, we got to get this thing together. You're gifted, you're talented, and we got to go somewhere in life. Does that make sense in here? So you got to stay in your lane. I was talking to Sam, Brother Sam Thomas. Sam, wave your hand. Brother Sam right there. We had a great conversation at lunch. And he was telling me about a lady who was in a low-performing school, I believe it was. And she was not supposed to be producing out of these kids because these kids, there was no reason for them to get to school on time. They didn't have money for lunch. They didn't have all the things that many of us have. And she was producing great numbers and great results for these kids. And they asked her finally, how are you getting these kids to do this? Are you paying them? What's going on? She said, no, I make them be responsible. You know what she did? She held them accountable, and she made them own their future. They had every reason to stay home, every reason to quit. But when a person ever gets a hold of their future, and they ever see what God wants to do in their life, you know why you come here every week and I want you to know? I want you to stay in your lane. I want to tell you that you have a business. You have a great enterprise on the inside of you. And if you would just follow God and stay in your lane, everything that you desire will show up in your life. Anybody believe that in here today? The next thing is this. Know what should and should not be done in your lane. Find your lane, stay in your lane, then take authority of your lane. This is all about understanding your authority. I've been teaching a class for the last, this Wednesday will be the fourth week. I've been going to a church teaching a class on resilience about my book. And one of the things about being resilient, bouncing back from loss, is how you handle conflict. And I was telling them a scenario that I went through because I was horrible at conflict for years. It just gives me butterflies on the inside. Some people just wake up and eat conflict for lunch. For me, it just makes me feel, anybody feel that kind of way on the inside when you got to deal with stuff because you don't want to hurt people's feelings, but you know what needs to be right? I struggled with that. And when I was in college, I was assistant pastor of a church and I had the key. So I had to let people in and let people out at certain times. And there was a wedding. But there was a deacon who had left the church, and he showed up at the wedding rehearsal. He said, Jason, good to see you. I said, man, I'm glad to see you too. He said, man, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here to lock up and shut down. He said, oh, don't worry about it. You can go home. I still got the key. I'm going to let that sit in. No longer a member. No longer attending there. But he said, I got the key and the code. He said, you can go home. I'll take care of it. I said, no, I got it. We'll take care of it. What I should have said is, brother, you know you don't go to church anymore. Can you give me the key back? So I posed it to the class. How would y'all do this? One of them said, give me the key back. This one man said something which exemplifies how many of us deal with boundaries. He said, oh, I just changed every lock and I changed the code. I said, you would disrupt the life of everybody else who has a key for one person? That's what many of us are doing right now in life. Instead of confronting stuff, you are disrupting your life and everybody else's life because of what you refuse to deal with. And you got unnecessary stress in your life because you are tolerating mess and messy people. And their irresponsibility and their immaturity is clouding your life because you won't deal with it head on. You got to deal with it with truth and love. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? Many of us have found ourselves just tiptoeing around stuff. I don't know. Let's just do this and do that. Do you know how much time and money has been wasted on mess and messy stuff? When God said, I just want you to deal with it. Let the chips fall where they may. And I need you to have peace in life in the name of Jesus. Let me just stop right there because some of you are carrying something right now. I don't know how to deal with it. If I say something, they may leave. If I say something, this may happen. What's the alternative? You not saying nothing and you being angry? And they walking around like life is fine for them. I want to challenge you today, if it's on you and God has put it on you, deal with it and you will see the results of God in your life. But I don't know what's going to happen. Do you want to live another 10 years the way you're living right now? Now, this is real right here. Ask God for the authority to deal with the things you need to deal with. I got scripture for it. Can you go to the scripture right here? Mark 11:23. The other one. Here we go. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted. Do you know who Jesus is talking to in the scripture? You. A lot of stuff that we're praying to God, God, take care of this. God, fix this. God's saying, you speak to it because I've given you the power to deal with it. And we're complaining about stuff that is in our control. God said, I've given you the control because some of you are going to leave here today and you're going to start putting some stuff in order. I want you to walk home today and say, there's a new sheriff in town. You may not be able to say it out of your mouth, but I need you to act like it. I need you to go into work tomorrow and say, no, y'all done ruined my, I'm tired of walking in here depressed. I am tired of letting life dictate to me how I'm going to feel. I'm going to start speaking to my mountain. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No, life is not perfect, but I'm going to make the most of the day God has given me, and I'm not going to let anything ruin my day. You speak to your mountain. Is it that easy? Absolutely. Everybody around you can be having a bad day, but no, not me. God made this day, and I'm going to find some good in it because there's too much in me to spend life miserable. You're waiting for a big moment to happen, and God said, I'm waiting on you to say something and declare this is what it will be. The beginnings of your turnaround are in your mouth. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know what it feels like to be broke and ain't got no business being broke because you mismanaged your money or you messed up relationships and you messed up things in your life. There's a time you got to grab your own self by the collar and say, Jason, you are better than this. We're not going to live broke another day like this. You're not going to do more stupid stuff like this. This is not who you are. And then when I begin to speak to myself, my real self stood up. And that's what we're waiting on, for the real you, the authentic you, to stand up, be accountable, and do what God calls you to do. Look to your neighbor and say, speak to your mountain. That's what Satan don't want you to realize. You got more authority than you ever imagined. Since we are in church, can I talk about praise for a moment? Do you know what the enemy does not want you to do? He does not want you to open your mouth. He does not want you to lift your hands. He wants you to sit there and be mad at the world and cry and complain. But the minute you begin to say, God, I need you to hold on to me because I'm weak without you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. When you begin to declare, I will bless the Lord at all times. You see how much better you feel right there? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom will I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When you begin to speak, your words have life in them. And they begin to change the atmosphere where you are right now. In the name of, you know how much power you have in your mouth? When you speak what heaven says, I can speak to cancer right now, and I command you to dry up at the root. I can speak to depression right now, and I command you to be lifted in the name of Jesus. I can speak to confusion, and I can say the peace of God rule in your heart right now in the name of Jesus. It's in your mouth. Yes, God, it's in your mouth. The last thing, and I'm through, because I see y'all waving them fans mighty hard. The last thing is this. You got to know your lane. Stay in your lane. You got to know what happens, should happen in your lane, your authority. The last thing is this. You got to give healthy yes and no's. Can you pull it up? You got to give healthy yes and no's. Because some of the yeses and no's we're giving are not healthy. You helping people and you ain't got the money to pay stuff yourself, and you trying to keep somebody else afloat. You running to people's rescue and you about to fall apart yourself. Well, if I don't do it, who gonna do it? Trust me, people love themselves enough not to die. That same person you worried about going to find somebody else to help them. Y'all keep looking right ahead at me. I know what I'm talking about. You're doing stuff that you don't have it in you to do, and you've not consulted heaven. Should I say yes to do? And many of us are saying no to stuff because we're afraid, because we're scared. What if I step out there? But God said, I'm telling you to say yes to it. Matthew 18 says this. Here's what I learned. The word no is not a demonic term. When you hear no, some people are afraid. Somebody said no. You could invoke heaven right there. Because some of you done said yes to some stuff that you wish you'd have said no to. I wish I'd have never answered this call. Y'all keep looking straight ahead. I wish I'd have never went there. Because you said no to the wrong things and yes to the wrong things. No to the right things and yes to the wrong things. No's and yeses are gates in your life. And I want to show you this in scripture. Because when you say no to the right thing, you empower the wrong thing. When you say yes to the wrong thing, you reject the right thing. I'm glad I said yes to God. I am married today to this beautiful lady right here because I said yes to God. There was a, I'll tell you our story. For many of you who believe in God to get married, there was a season in my life I was dating. She probably got a completely different story. And the Lord said, "It's it. Cut it." Barbara's doing the same thing. And the Lord said, "Cut it." We had no idea around the same season of our life God was telling us to say yes to him. And after a period of time, he brought us together. And when we shared our story around the same time, God was weeding some stuff out of my life. She was not necessarily a bad person. I hope God, she ain't listening to this right now. She's going to send threatening letters to the church or nothing like that. But it just, sorry. It just wasn't what God had for me. And I was not what God had for her. And I knew it. But I cut that out of my life. She cut some things out of her life. And God brought us together. You have no idea what you're holding on to could be in the place of something that God wants to be there. Let me show you this in Scripture. Matthew 18 and 18 says this. "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, shall have already," somebody say already, "be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, shall have already," somebody say already, "be loosed in heaven." The word bind, let me just say this, forbid is no. Loose is yes. So your yeses and your noes should be what heaven has already spoken. Can I give you the Jason Scales version of this? Let's go to the next slide here. Here's the Jason Scales version. You can't switch? All right. Let me read it to you here. It said, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, say no to on earth, shall have already be bound, said no to in heaven. And whatever you loose, say yes to on earth, shall have already been loosed or said yes to in heaven." Your yeses and noes have already been predetermined by God. And you got to make a decision. God, what are you saying in this situation? Because whatever you say, I'm going to say it. I told you, many of you have heard this many times. I've struggled with fear when it comes to presentations. I would be in front of CEOs. I would be in front of CFOs and their benefits enrollment people. And my stomach would get to just bounce it up and down like it's doing gymnastics. And I had to take authority of this. And I said, God, fear is not in heaven. So I'm going to bind it on earth. And I began to speak, stomach, you're not going to cut up today. We're going to go in here and we're going to have a mighty good time. I ain't going to preach like I'm in church, but I'm going to deliver these numbers and these financials like I've never delivered them before. And guess what my stomach would do? My stomach would come down because I took authority of the situation. When I bound what God had already bound, what God said would be showed up in my life. I want to challenge you today. There is some stuff that is existing in your life that will not let you sleep. It will not let you calm down. That if heaven is bounded, you could be in here sick right now and that sickness is messing you up. You can declare, "I declare by the stripes that Jesus bore in his body, I am healed right now." And you can bind sickness and I guarantee you healing will show up in the name of Jesus. Why can I do this? Because I'm in business. And there's some things that I need in my life and whatever I need. Can I just say this, and I just say this with all God-given confidence. You're here, and we're connected in some way because we prayed this thing in. I knew what God wanted. When you guys want to hear, I walk through every aisle. I anoint every seat. God, fill this seat with African-Americans. Fill it with Caucasians. Fill it with IT people. Fill it with finance people. Fill it with people with issues, struggles from all walks of life. And I come in agreement with heaven because I don't believe that God wants any seat empty. We didn't buy it to waste it. So if a seat is empty next to you, invite somebody next week, let them sit in it. No, I'm serious. And the next one, let's go on and call that in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's what heaven has already said yes to. I want to challenge you this week. Find out what is improper in your life. What has God already bound? And figure out what he's already loose and say yes to heaven. And say no to what heaven has said no to. And watch, won't God show up some incredible things in your life. You know I know this is true? Because many of us in here now, we're struggling because we done said yes to the wrong thing. You're insecure and you're nervous. Can I talk to people who are dating in here? You done said yes to the wrong person. Now they got you hiding behind trees trying to figure out where they're at. Having somebody call them down the street so y'all can go through their phone and figure out who they're talking to. How's that working for you? No, for real, how's that working for you? It's not. No, you sitting here in church right now financially, and you got 188 numbers calling you. Give me my money. They want their money. And you broke and all this stuff. No, it's not working. There's a point in life where you can make a decision. This is not what God wants. Father, whatever I got to go through, I say yes to you. And I say no to whatever you don't want me to have. And I'm going to trust heaven to show up in my life. When you set those boundaries, all heaven will back you up. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet.